Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to Daily Distraction here on Fightful.com. I am Jeremy Lambert, joined, as always, by my co-host, Joe Holbert. Joe, it's been a... WWE countered us again last night.
Yeah, quiet news round this morning, right? Nothing big going on in the world, nothing big going on in wrestling either. Really nice, just have a peaceful session of writing. No distractions at all other than our own. This cycle's never ending, Jeremy. We're just going to keep waking up to more chaos. This seems to be the way it is now.
Since wrestling is still running shows, like, my Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays are still busy. Like, I still have to watch these shows and do news articles and stuff on them. So I basically get, and even with Impact still running shows, like, now I have to do, like, more Impact stuff because it's like nobody else is running stuff. Like, do something on Sami Callihan being the hacker. And it's like, we would never do this under normal circumstances. Like, who cares about Solomon Crowe's return? So Thursday is like the one night where I'm just like, all right, there's no like taped shows, live shows, whatever. I can chill. I tried to watch John Wick Chapter 2 last night, and all of a sudden I get these messages like, Roman's out of WrestleMania. I'm just like, oh my God, like, are you kidding me? Like, can we have just one peaceful night around here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make this like a rest. The truth is, this is bigger than wrestling, obviously. Both of us very much are on Roman's side here in this decision, obviously. But it must be said that the one match that everyone kept explaining had to happen, at all costs, we had to do Roman and Goldberg because we don't want to have months of Goldberg as champ with no match. And then here we are. I assume Goldberg beats the replacement. I don't know if it's announced yet, so I'll leave it as just the replacement. So in the end, this has to be delayed anyway, this match. So you've ended up with a card that isn't WrestleMania. But yeah. I mean, we've discussed this at a time, but this has to be covered in its own way because Roman being off the show is just, it kind of symbolizes the whole thing, really, right? It's just a mess at this point.
Yeah, and typically on these daily distraction shows, we try to separate from the actual news of what's going on, but Roman being off of WrestleMania is kind of too big to, like, we can't put that off until next Thursday and set a timer for 5 minutes and do that. Roman's off of WrestleMania. It was announced last night. The story is, there's multiple stories going around. I don't know if he pulled himself because Miz was sick. I don't know if the Usos were upset that Miz was sick and so that upset Roman, or if WWE pulled him, because I don't know who pulled who, what happened. All we really know is Roman's off the show. They have a replacement for Goldberg, a rumored replacement. We're not going to say it on this show, but they, they apparently have some sort of replacement to face Goldberg. And the real crux of this is that we all know Roman went through leukemia last year, the end of 2018, start of 2019, and his immune system is compromised. And my wife is immunocompromised as well. Like, I understand all the precautions you need to take in this, especially, like, you got to take precautions just normal everyday life. These times you really got to take these precautions. So, like, I completely understand his decision to be pulled out of the show. If it was a WWE decision, like, why wasn't this decision made long ago? And I think this is my, and I think yours as well, the argument we've been making for weeks now is, like, WWE just, they want to just push forward. And all the evidence was like, hey, this is really bad, and it's getting worse by the day. So maybe have a backup plan here. And they're just like, nope, we're going to do Mania. Like, we're just going to do it as scheduled.
It's tough. I mean, I think you were kind of ahead of the curve in the sense of, like, I think sometimes we're too in the wrestling bubble and are just like, okay, so who's the replacement for this? What are we doing with this? So where are we holding it now? And it's like, you were pretty quick to point out, hey, look, these sports leagues are closing down for a reason. Like, the wrestlers are not, they're not immune to this either. We should probably just shut down all operations, right? And this, you know, this, both of the major leagues in America are like just running shows. And there is a reason they're on an island here. There's a reason they're alone. Everyone else is shut down. So that kind of speaks to this. You're right in the sense that with Roman, probably a decision should have been made. But I don't know. I don't know how their process is going here. I'd imagine it's so chaotic that, like, they just, it all gets lost in the mess, if that makes sense. Like, they probably wasn't thinking. I mean, they're still plotting, like, a ton of matches, and it's just insane. It's an insane. The fact that this news broke after someone out there who replaces Roman could be the champ right now, like, that's weird in itself. That highlights how insane this is, because it's still, like, 9 days away. So, I don't know, Jeremy, you're probably ahead of the curve saying that none of this should be happening. We should probably currently be talking about, like, old matches and, like, wonder when wrestling will be back. But that is not what's going on. Wrestling is... He's stealing the headlines in the worst way.
They didn't even have, like, any foresight. Like, they were so hell-bent on, we're just going to keep doing these live shows at the performance site. Like, they just started taping stuff this past week. And by that point, it had already been a week of these Performance Center shows, and there was no evidence that it was going to get any better. In fact, all the evidence was that it was continuing to get worse. Like, Roman and Goldberg were on the show last Friday, wasn't it? I think that was that was a live show. Why didn't you tape the match then? They had no foresight for any of this stuff.
I mean, you're different. So the first empty arena show was
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that Friday, right? Yeah. SmackDown?
Yes.
You're probably right in saying that that weekend they probably should have done as much TV as they could, and then the following week done WrestleMania. Yes. And then they know they have that much, go from there. But I just think, probably ignorance and naivety was just like, well, you never know, right? Like, I don't know, man. I don't know what the news kind of representation was over there. But here, like, it was similar. Like, some people were kind of, there was still show events being booked and being like, well, we never quite know. It's like, we've got a good feeling. I think we could figure it out by now. So I'm with you. They had a lot of time, especially with the Goldberg thing. Like, why they couldn't have taken that, very least on the weekend after SmackDown, is odd, right? But I don't know, here we are. Someone out there has just wrestled Bill Goldberg, and I hope it went safely for them.
I mean, and AEW is in a similar position. They're like, we're just going to keep running these live shows every week. It's like, tape all of this. Because you don't know, look, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow at this point. Yeah. Like, to try to predict 2, 3, 4 days, a week from now, you don't know if a venue was just going to be like, yeah, we're not putting our venue at risk at this point. Like, we don't want anybody in our venue. You don't know who is, you know, Trump could shut the entire United States down. He's not going to do that. But, he could. Government officials are continuing to issue stay-at-home orders and everything. Like, you knew. Maybe they didn't know. And if they didn't know, this, again, just speaks to just how silly they are and how just egotistical, honestly, they are of just, show's got to go on. Like, whatever, we're immune to all of this. Like, we can just keep running our shows.
I think there was probably, I mean, look, we all know the decision falls on one man's shoulders at the end of the day, right? That's who made the decision. There's no point pretending it wasn't him. It was him who made the decision. But I think there was probably a feeling of, and it's, we do need to see, I think it's fair to assume that after WrestleMania, surely that week is the last week. I've got to believe it at this point.
They've apparently already taped the Raw after WrestleMania.
But like after that block, if that makes sense, I feel like they've got to go into some kind of hiatus. But if so, I'd imagine the idea was, let's just wrap up this stuff, if it makes any sense. It's craziness. I understand. But you're right in saying that if that was the idea, we could have acted a lot quicker here, right? Like, we didn't have to wait a whole extra week and tape it this week. It could have been done. We all could have been in the can. But I don't know, man. I think the next week there's going to be more and more crazy stories coming out, and it's just going to make WrestleMania even more bizarre watching it.
America not acting quickly when it comes to the pandemic. That's shocking news given how we've as a country have handled this entire situation. And I'm not going to get political, but you can see all the facts for yourself, everybody. It has not been good. And you're right, like, it falls on one man. I can't stand the people who are like, these wrestlers have a decision. Like, you know, if they didn't want to work these shows, they didn't have to. They could have revolted or unionized, and then they would have been forced to cancel. It's like, this is the business. If The Miz or John Morrison or Kofi Kingston, like, if Kofi Kingston's like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to work this match.
Yeah.
Like, Kofi is, like, his spot is gone. Like, so many of these guys, like, their spot is gone. You hear them talk about that all the time when they get injured. Like, shit, I got to protect this injury because if I'm out for 4 months, I don't know where I'll be in for. Like, if you say I'm not working this show, you don't know where that's going to put you after that. So it...
I mean, the thing is, it's like, the truth is, in them, they could be sincere as imaginable when they tell you it won't matter, and it may never have mattered, but the wrestler will never believe that.
Right.
They'll never believe that, and that's just... And everyone knows that, right? Like, that's just the way it is, especially at this time of WWE calendar. They're not going to willingly opt out of major Mania matches. Even if there's no fans in attendance, it's still WrestleMania. They're not going to give up that spot. So you're right, it shouldn't be in their hands. But I'd also think, you know, what you're saying there, like you mentioned AEW, and it's like, they're just kind of like, just floating along here doing weekly shows. And I don't know when, I think they taped some stuff this week. I don't know if they've changed their system a little bit. But there's really no need for them to be running either, right? Like,
no.
We've mentioned that before. So it's just, there's a reason wrestling's the outlier. Obviously, the UFC is doing their weird, like, one fight vendetta thing where he's just spinning a globe.
They're so
hell-bent
on doing Ferguson and Nurmagomedov that they're just like, look, nothing is stopped. We've had wire cables stop us. We've had all the I think somebody got sick one time. They're like, no, doesn't matter. Yeah. An asteroid can hit the Earth tomorrow. Don't care. Habib and Tony are fighting.
Exactly, yeah. So I think there's a reason that outside of that exception, WWE is basically on its own here. And I think that's going to become more and more obvious, the reason for that, over the next week. I don't know if this is the end of the big news. I would assume it's not. I really would assume that we're in for a very hectic few days, to be honest.
I will be so happy when just WrestleMania is over. Honestly,
yeah.
I will be, and usually I'm very happy when WrestleMania is over because things do start to die down. Like the news WrestleMania week is nuts because everyone's gathered in one place. There's so much content. There's so many shows running, but like, that's fun. It's fun to just sit there and watch all these like indie shows all day. Like, this is just complete nonsense right now. And just look, shut it down, everybody. Just shut it down. Like, no, it's not the wrestler's decision. It's the decision of the two people running the companies. They can take it out. Like, the wrestlers look like the bad guy. I mean, they don't, but in some instances, like, they might.
There's
people are
like,
that's how they're painted. Like, oh, you pulled out a main. Like, this person didn't pull out. Like, it shouldn't be up to them. One person has the power to shut all this down, and they're not doing it. Those one or two people. So.
Yeah.
We will see what happens.
That's all you can say about it, right? At this point, that's just all you can say about it. It's very pro wrestling, really. That's all you can describe it as.
That's honestly, that's the easiest way to put it, is it's pro wrestling, and that encompasses so much. Like, that can explain anything wacky, anything that you don't like, anything you do like, you just say, it's pro wrestling.
Yeah, and in this case, it works perfectly.
Yeah. We're going to move on to our March Madness tournament, which has been dominating these daily distraction shows. Round two has wrapped up. We're on to the Sweet 16, so we're going to look back at round two. We're going to look ahead at the Sweet 16. And Joe, we're going to start in the Raw division here. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the graphic on the screen. right now. So we have the Raw division. We had, I'm just going to quickly run through the second round and give some numbers, and then we'll kind of talk about what we thought of the second round. So Brock Lesnar defeats Andrade 65% to 34%. Kevin Owens, the 4 seed, defeats Randy Orton, the 5 seed, 67 to 32. AJ Styles, a 6 over 3, I guess an upset, 61 to 39. Drew McIntyre narrowly squeaks by Aleister Black, 51.5% to 48.5%. Joe, what are your thoughts on the how the second round played out here?
Just another shining example of my immense perception of the fans and what they like and dislike, because I'm pretty sure I framed 3 of these matchups as being very close, hard to pick battles. And then my caption for Aleister Black, Drew McIntyre was lock of the region, which came out, I believe, at 51 to 49 in Drew's favour. So glad to see I'm still on the money in that sense. Not any huge surprises outside of that, like just how close Black and Drew was. But Brock is doing super good here, right? It's very interesting how well Brock's doing.
He's had some good matchups, I will say. Like Rowan, that was never going to be anything. No offense to Andrade. Like, I do think people like him, but he was off television for a month. He is positioned as just kind of like a mid-card guy. So mm-hmm. Brock's had some good matchups. Now he takes on Owens, and that's a... Owens has a lot of support. This will be a tough one for Brock. And AJ and Drew, I would have thought Drew would take this, maybe not easily, but I would have thought he would have taken this before the voting. I could not believe Aleister Black got nearly half the vote. I have nothing against Aleister Black. I thought Drew was just on such a roll that it really wouldn't matter, and he nearly lost to a guy who, hey, Aleister Black's great, but Aleister Black just hasn't really done a whole lot outside of squash people.
Yeah, I mean, we have nothing against Aleister Black. We just wanted Bobby Lashley to defeat him in the first round. We're obviously way off in that regard. I think we both think he's cool and all. I just don't think... I don't know. Perhaps because we've seen, like, his NXT stuff, which I'm not saying is better or worse before anyone gets mad at me. I'm just saying, because we've seen a lot of him at this point, maybe the Raw stuff isn't as impressive to us as it is the general fan, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. That's just a guess. Like, you know those squashes he does? I guess they're pretty cool, right? We may be taking them for granted because we've seen all that whole presentation, but these two matchups are very cool. I think AJ, that Seth win has me thinking that he's going past Drew here.
AJ, his promo work has certainly boosted him. I mean, he doesn't have anything over the weekend that's going to, you know, no one on the Raw side has anything that's going to like boost their stock unless it comes out that honestly, at this point, who knows? Anything could come out, and it won't surprise me. Like, if it comes out that Kevin Owens just also refused to work Mania, I don't know if that helps him or hurts him in this tournament at this point. But nothing would surprise me. I'm thinking we're getting AJ and Brock though in the finals of this bracket.
That's interesting. Owens was impressed me with that Orton win. That was pretty wide in the end, right? I think
it was 67 to 32.
That surprised me. So I think Brock and Owens will be close, which means it'll be 90 to 10 Brock. But I'm taking AJ against Drew. But yeah, these are some fun ones, right? Fresh matchups, unless I'm mistaken. I assume they are. I think I'm right in saying that. Fresh matchups.
They are, yeah. I don't remember a real Brock and Owens match. And AJ and Drew probably had a match at some point, but I don't think it was anything, you know, important. It was probably just some match on Raw where they're like, first time ever, and then...
Yeah. Well, that's exciting, at least. We're bringing some fresh matches to the people, right? We're doing something they haven't done in a long time.
WWE is 100% going to look at this and be like, oh, these are fresh matchups. Maybe they're going to record them for their post-Mania shows. Let's move on to the NXT bracket, which is now up on the screen for anyone watching. Adam Cole defeats Matt Riddle 63.7% to 36.3%. Keith Lee, the 5 seed, over Finn Balor, the 4 seed, 64.7% to 35.3%. Velveteen Dream over Johnny Gargano, 55.5 to 44.5. And Tommaso Ciampa, 64.9, the 2 seed, over Roderick Strong, the 7 seed, 74.9 to 25.1. Wow. What stood out to you in this, Joe?
Poor Roddy, man. Roddy got slaughtered by Tommaso Ciampa. Wow. I mean, I did say, right, that I think Roddy had a better chance against Gargano than he did Ciampa. Yeah. But based on this, I don't think he was winning against either. So what stood out to me, people still love Adam Cole. I thought Riddle was going to go super far here, and that was not the case. So that was interesting.
I definitely thought Riddle would have gotten more of the vote. I didn't know if Adam Cole was going to win. I think we almost take Adam Cole for granted because
he's been 100%.
On top for so long that we're just like, all right, cool, it's Adam Cole. But I mean, he's obviously really good. Like, he is kind of a total package wrestler. But I thought Riddle would get more of the vote as well. Velveteen Dream over Gargano is a slight upset for me because I thought Dream had kind of cooled, but apparently not.
I think there's a lot of people that don't watch NXT every week, clearly. And those people think Velveteen Dream is like one of the few things that they would enjoy on NXT. If that makes any sense whatsoever, I don't know, Jeremy. What I'm saying is there is a contingent of fans that find NXT to be super dry. And those fans absolutely love Velveteen Dream because he is the antithesis of that, right? While on the other hand, Johnny represents everything that people criticize about it. For better or worse, that's very unfair because Gargano's probably had like the five best matches in NXT history. People don't care at this point. They're done with it. They've moved on. I probably would have voted for Johnny, to be honest. But such is life. I understand. It didn't surprise me. It was relatively close too. So, yeah.
So the Sweet 16 matchups for the NXT bracket: Adam Cole, Keith Lee, Velveteen Dream, Tommaso Ciampa. What are you thinking here?
I think Adam Cole is making it to the Elite Eight here. I think based on his showing here, I think you're going to get Ciampa and Cole, to be honest, which is fitting. That's the top two guys in NXT, right?
I don't know. I think Cole is going to make it based on just how well he did against Riddle. I don't know if Riddle has more or less support than Lee. I feel like it's about equal. Maybe Lee has a little bit more. But because Cole did so much better than Riddle, if that was closer, then I would maybe lean a little more towards Lee. But because it wasn't that close, I think Cole is taking it. I think Dream is going to upset Ciampa, and I don't know why.
Wow, that's a big take. I don't know, it was too close for me. Because I think Ciampa's more popular than Johnny, and it was too close with Johnny for me to think that. But I've been incorrect on almost every one of my predictions so far, Jeremy, as the captions show, so maybe you're correct. I guess we'll find out.
We're going to move on to the SmackDown side, and this is the weird bracket here because of everything that's sort of happened over the past couple days. And we have SmackDown tonight. Who knows how that's going to shift the momentum for these wrestlers, but the bracket is up on the screen right now. I cannot wait for this this third round matchup that we're about to talk about. Second round, Roman Reigns, the 1 seed, defeats Sami Zayn, the 9 seed, 55-45. Daniel Bryan, the 4 seed, easily handles Drew Gulak, the 12 seed, 92.1-7.9. The Fiend, the 3 seed, over the 11 seed Sheamus, 69.9-3.1, and Kofi Kingston, 90% over Elias, 10%. That was a 7-15 matchups. Not a whole lot of competition here on this SmackDown bracket.
No. I assume you're very excited for The Fiend versus Kofi Kingston.
Yes.
Correct? That's the one you really jazzed up for.
100% excited for The Fiend against Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Roman and Bryan is, I think, could be the decider between your eventual winners because I believe, Jeremy, I've been speaking to some people, some insiders, dare I say, who think when the stakes are higher, there is a Roman fan base that will come out to battle. And I'm very excited to see the votes just suddenly explode when we get deep in this. So we might have to see him against Bryan because otherwise Bryan's going past him, I think.
We talked last week and we said, what did Daniel Bryan have to do to essentially ruin his chances? And we said, go after the AEW fan base, whatever. And it turned out like he did more to boost his chance. Like, he was never losing to Drew Gulak anyway. But Brie Bella comes out and is like, yeah, Bryan is immunocompromised. And, you know, once he gets done with all this, he's going to have to come back and quarantine for 2 weeks because we can't put our daughter and stuff at risk. And like, just more support for Daniel Bryan. Like, oh, look at this man, like, putting it out, like, still wrestling and all this stuff, putting his health on the line, which isn't a good thing, by the way. Bryan, don't wrestle if you don't feel you don't need to. But, like, it just supported him more. But now you got Roman, and Roman pulling out of this thing. I don't know. That's such a tough one to call.
Lots of March Madness kind of back and forth going on here, right? A lot of different moves being made. Very interesting. So I think Brian would, but if you was doing like overall odds here for who's left, Brian, I think, is such a big favourite to win the whole tournament. It's actually kind of insane.
He's got 90% in both rounds.
Exactly. So, but what I will say is Gulek stylistically was very similar to Daniel Bryan. If you like Drew Gulak, you probably love Daniel Bryan. And I don't mean that as an indictment of Drew in any way. It's just he's Daniel Bryan, right? Roman may have a different audience. He may attract... I don't know. I have no clue, clearly. But perhaps this is this turns into a real close one. But based on what we've seen, I mean, Roman was pretty tight with Sami Zayn. I think this looks like it's only going one way, right? It looks that way to me.
I like your point. Like, it's a completely different fan base of those who like Roman and who like Bryan. You said something that maybe you didn't mean to say it, but I picked up on it. You said if you like Drew Gulak, you love Daniel Bryan. So like, you're voting for Bryan over Gulak. Like, you know.
Yeah, that was intended.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a feature man. I'll give him a credit for my phrasing. Yeah, I think I tweeted it because it's true. I like Drew Gulak. I love Daniel Bryan. Like, it's the same skill set. Bryan's just Bryan. It's not a knock on Drew.
Right.
Just the way it is.
It is a completely different fan base with Roman. The Fiend over Sheamus was a little surprising to me. Have we overstated like how cooled off the Fiend is? I didn't think he'd make it out of the first round, and here he is going into to face Kofi. I thought Kofi, once he got out of the first round and once Elias beat Goldberg, I didn't think Kofi Elias was going to be close, and it wasn't. Now I'm wondering if the Fiend might not beat Kofi here.
I think two things happening here. Me and you have both greatly overstated how much the Fiend has cooled off, as you mentioned. However, Jeremy, I do have to point the blame to you in one sense, that I think you greatly overstated also Sheamus' social media pull to me. I didn't know what I was expecting. Sheamus has taken... The Fiend, sorry, has taken down the bar thus far, right? I mean, that's big time from the Fiend. So next up is Kofi Kingston. I think Kofi... But I don't know. Look, let's be honest. Whoever it is who wins this matchup, Kofi and The Fiend, they're losing in the next round to whoever makes it through Bryan and Roman. So, you know, we're just getting to see get another appearance here. Another appearance fee is all they're vying for.
I think I'm with you that it's probably Bryan or Daniel, whoever comes out of that matchup. I do think Kofi would stand a little bit of a chance there because... People like Kofi. People have a lot of support for Kofi. The Fiend, I don't think, has any chance against either of them. Even Roman. Like, you can talk about the Roman backlash and stuff. If you dislike Roman, you probably dislike The Fiend as well, and you probably just would rather go Roman.
I think so. Look, I have no issue with The Fiend. I've had to watch a ton of his segments over the last week, so actually I do have a massive issue with him, but that's a different topic for another day. But I think you'd be hard-pressed to vote for him as a better performer over Roman and Daniel Bryan, to be honest. I mean, I don't want to be biased here, but it feels like that'd be a stretch. So Kofi against Roman could be interesting. But again, Bryan is in the front seat here. He's running it, I think, right now.
He is. He's that four seed who was just clearly a little bit underseeded, but got hot. Yeah. You know, he didn't have the best regular season, and so that's why.
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active, well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of five-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boosts of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
He's a little bit underseeded, but then he got hot at the end of the season, won his conference tournament, and it's like, that's the four seed you got to look out for. And
exactly.
I mean, that's where he's at right now.
This next region has become very interesting.
Move on to the women's region. The bracket is now on the screen. It almost happened, Joe. We'll talk about that in a second. But Becky Lynch, the one seed, beats Alexa Bliss, the eight seed, 69.9% to 30.1%. Bayley squeaks out over Shayna Baszler in a 5-4 matchup, 52.2% to 47.8%. Sasha Banks, the 6 seed, beats Rhea Ripley, the 3 seed, 60.4% to 39.6%. And Asuka, the 7 seed, upsets Charlotte, the 2 seed, 66.4% to 33.6%. Joe, we were one matchup away from an all-horsewomen final, but it did not happen as Asuka takes down Charlotte. What did you make of the second round here?
I want some credit. I want some respect, not from you, Jeremy, just from the public in general. I want a trophy. I want a medal of some kind for doing the right thing. I stood down the troops. And it showed in that Becky Bliss matchup. We did the right thing collectively. So I'm very proud of myself in that regard. Bayley and Shayna being that close is hilarious to me for many reasons that I'll not get into on the podcast. Asuka Banks, big time. That's a big time matchup. It Becky's is. Through. Okay. Becky's through. That leaves you with who is she going to face here in the Elite Eight next round? So Banks Asuka is going to be super close. They have huge support on the Twitter.
I think it's going to be super close as well. Yeah, Bayley. The fact that Bayley barely got by Shayna doesn't bode well for her against Becky at all. But, you know, Asuka defeated Charlotte more than Sasha defeated Rhea. And Sasha, yeah. You know, Sasha had the tough matchup in the first round against Bianca, probably took a lot out of her. Going into the second round, may still be tired. You know, Bianca and Rhea, they're good. They play like they play the full court press. So, you know, they wear out the opponent. And Asuka. Yeah, she had a tough matchup against Charlotte, but she's hot at the right time. And we talked about it last week. They didn't do Charlotte any favors running that Raw replay, running that WrestleMania match. No favors at all, because that just brought up the bad memories.
You know, I'm interested. Who would you actually take here as better overall performer, Banks or Asuka?
I would go Sasha. And I love Asuka. I a slight edge towards Sasha.
Would you say that's because just for the obvious reasons there she'd be easier to build a division around, right? Like, look, we love the Asuka promos. They're tremendous. But there is only so many ways you can handle that character, right? Like, it's just in natural limitations. No, it's not a reflection of her. It's just the way it is.
Right. One of your kind of caveats or requirements was, you know, vote based on essentially who you would build around, who you would build the division around. Mm-hmm. And it'd be much easier for me to build around Sasha than it would be to build around Asuka. Yeah. Not that, like you said, not that you can't build around Asuka. It would just take a little bit more work.
Yeah, I do. What I will say is I, you know, there's a lot of names. There's like a handful of names for the females that are always kind of grouped into this, like they are the best in ring, right? I do think Asuka is the best female inside the ropes on this whole, like, Ross. I really do believe that because Sasha has had some great matches. Charlotte has great matches. But Asuka's, like, execution in ring is, to me, is a little bit, it's a cut above. But I just think, like we said, it's like there's a lot more you can do with Sasha just with the natural, the obvious limitations to Asuka, right? We love listening to her shout around and rave in Japanese, but it's just only some ways you can do that in a title program. So, yeah, it is what it is, but I agree. I think I'm with you.
So that's a tough matchup, Sasha and Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good matchups here in the Sweet 16, which is what you expect by when you get to this point. So Joe will have those up on his Twitter. Everyone can follow him on Twitter at JoelHolbert5. They will be up, I assume, sometime this weekend. We will discuss the Sweet 16 and preview the Elite Eight on Monday, I believe, is going to be the plan.
Yeah, I might actually get them up tonight and then just have them up all weekend. So they're kind of there if it wanted. So just so give them as much time as possible to win or lose, you know? Yeah. Get as much time for the stand groups to come in, fighting in my mentions. That'll be great fun. But yeah, you're right. Look, Banks, it's all about how much she's recovered from those two young guns. Facing young teams, a lot of energy out there. So it'll be interesting.
We're going to move on to a bit that I promised on yesterday's distraction. If you didn't listen to yesterday's distraction, what's wrong with you? Go back, listen right now. What else are you doing? Yeah. But we talked about AEW Dynamite and specifically the Matt Hardy and Brody Lee segments. And Joe's big question was like, how does a casual fan, how does like a non-wrestling fan sort of view these segments? Because Matt Hardy is teleporting, he's doing his broken mat stuff with his accent and saying he's 3,000 years old and everything. Brody Lee is, you know, we got the Vince McMahon stuff, but otherwise he's just kind of like a mob boss looking dude who has to eat first and doesn't like people sneezing around him. So, you know, to us, even to us, like the Vince McMahon stuff was too much, but to just a regular viewer, what did they think of this? So I said I would ask my wife. I said I would show her these segments and see what she thought of them. I will give you some background on my wife. She's not completely blind when it comes to... She's not completely blind, but she's not completely blind when it comes to wrestling. She did watch with me for a good like year period from 2016, whatever Mania Dallas was, all the way up to, which I think was 32, right?
Yes, the one, yeah, that I said was good, that is apparently the worst Mania ever, is that one, Jeremy? Yeah.
Yeah, she watched with me Mania Dallas to, what was Mania 30? Oh, that was Roman and Triple H. No, that, what was 31? Roman and 31, Seth, or Roman and Brock.
Seth Cashin.
Yeah, Seth Cashin. Yeah, yeah, okay. So she watched with me essentially from just, I think, SummerSlam after the Mania 31 up until about Mania Orlando, which was Mania 33. And she would watch, like, kind of weekly. She would watch NXT. She would watch Raw, SmackDown, and the big pay-per-views. I think she skipped all the meaningless stuff, but the big pay-per-views. So she knows, and most of those people are still around and headlining today. So she knows, she knew Matt Hardy. She knew Brody Lee. So she wasn't completely blind in that aspect. She didn't know the Vince McMahon joke. She's not that inside. She literally rightly only so knows, yeah, what she sees on TV. So...
okay.
Got my notes here. Let me pull them.
Wow.
Up. Yeah, I took
this
notes.
This is the most professional bit we've ever done on the distraction, folks.
Matt Hardy segment. She just, yeah, started by laughing. She thought that Matt Hardy at the top of the arena doing his wacky little thing was just funny. She thought it was hilarious. She said, thought it was cool at first, the teleporting, the first time he teleported. Then it happened too much, so didn't like that they ran it into the ground.
Okay.
My favorite comment on this is, were they going to do that with people? So that's a fair question, I feel like. If, yeah, they was, had, yeah, been in the arena, like, how would they have pulled off this teleportation bit?
Yeah, I mean, I'm laughing a lot at this analysis, but I'm also just chuckling at the, I'm just recalling the thing where, like, as Matt moved, Jericho is also, like, jolting. Yeah. It was amazing. It was. I want to make it clear that while I criticized it, I did find it hilarious, but I just thought for all the wrong reasons. Carry on.
So she wanted to know, were they going to do this teleportation bit with people? By the time Matt got into the ring and started cutting his promo about he's 3,000 years old, she says, this is stupid. Please turn it off. So I did.
Oh, wow.
And she noticed that there were no people, and she thought that added to the stupidity. She thought, they're, yeah, just talking to each other in the middle of the ring. That's really dumb.
Yeah, I understand. What I will say is, she would hate the segments where they have microphones and they're talking to each other. Yeah. That's even weirder. Like we, yesterday, I think we was like, man, how cool is it when they're doing that? And I do think, to a normal person, it's like, what is going on? There is no one watching these people. They're just talking to each other in the middle of a ring. So yeah, I understand that. That makes a lot of sense.
So those were her comments on the Matt Hardy segment. Joe, you asked for her comments on Brody Lee's gear, and she said, do his pants need to be longer? So she thought they may have been a little too short.
Yes.
And yes, then she just said, it's not very exciting, it's whatever. That was,
oh,
it.
Wow. Okay, I mean, I wanted more depth on the gear, I'm going to be honest, because I was really pondering it a lot. I was thinking about it a lot, because there's this, like... I assume it's like the Exalted One logo on the back. It's like an eye.
Right.
And I was kind of thinking, like, couldn't he just, like... I don't want him to look like Luke Harper exactly, but he could look more like a wild man than he currently does. Like, he's just got kind of just, like, generic gear, mate.
It looked almost like Bludgeon Brothers. Like, I looked back at the Bludgeon Brothers gear, and it's just, yes, like, it's just weird stitching, and maybe it's a nod to that? I don't know, but...
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. Like, have you listened to the Jericho podcast?
Or
is that a thing you... Or Lee, Brody Lee?
I've listened to, I'm about halfway through because I've literally transcribed the entire first half of this interview, and I imagine I'm going to have to transcribe the entire second half because he says a lot of stuff. But yeah, I'm about halfway through that interview.
How much trouble do you think this interview is going to get you into with like headlines and people being like, man, this guy's bitter?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I posted the one of like Vince McMahon only saw me as a hillbilly who should do a Southern accent. And like, that's what he said. Like, what do you want me to headline with? Like,
yeah,
those are his literal tough words.
Those podcasts are always like, I haven't listened to it and I will listen to it at some point, but they always are less, other than the Ambrose one or Moxie one, which was super scathing, they're normally not as heavy hitting as the headlines make it feel. Like when you write it down, it just seems awful a lot of time.
This one honestly was though. Like this was very much like the Moxley interview of, it wasn't going to touch the Moxley interview because he was a top guy who was just super frustrated and just wanted out. And just, you know, he went through way worse than what Luke Harper had to go through. But it was in the sense that, like, he really went behind the scenes of, here was my meetings with Vince, here's all the stuff that I pitched him. Like, I was just very frustrated that I couldn't do this. Like, I felt like they were burying me after he talked about, you know, they screwed up the spot with AJ where they were supposed to be both eliminated at the same time. And after that, like, he was just off television for months. He's like, yeah, once I screwed up that spot, they were just done with me. And so... He does talk. He does go a lot of behind the scenes and share like Vince McMahon stories. So this is one where, again, not the Moxley interview. It is more like scathing than the some of the sensationalized headlines will be with some like the Jericho stuff. Jericho always says this stuff, and the headlines are like super out there. And at this point, Jericho's just trolling and saying stuff, and is good at making headlines. Yeah. Brody Lee, I think, was very frustrated, and the headlines kind of will probably do that justice.
I mean, the other thing as well with the Moxley one is like the Dean Ambrose character never used Twitter and stuff, right? Like, I think we all, it's cool to have a podcast where he goes in detail, but I think we all had an idea of where Brody was with this stuff and what happened to him. With Moxley, it was just like there was so much new stuff in that podcast. It was a total new world, and it's interesting. It's an interesting thing Jericho's kind of latching onto here of like just these like first take interviews after guys leave. It's a fascinating time in that sense, because the Punk interview came a while after he had left, unless I'm mistaken. Like, it was a while.
It was in November there. And he had left in January, I guess, because it's
Rumble. And that interview was like, wow, like it was such an insight. And now, I guess, obviously it's not to that degree, but Jericho's had done like two of these kind of things, right? Like a post-mortem on a WWE run. It's weird.
Whenever they do the Revival interview, I'm sure that one will be pretty scathing as well. You're right in that. Like, go ahead, Joe.
People are gonna get super upset about it, Jeremy. I might have to get off the social media. I love the Revival. I have no issue with them tweeting whatever they want about the place they work. Most of my friends tweet about their employer at these trying times. I understand, but people get very, very mad, Jeremy. And when you write that headline about something being said about them being Southern, I'm gonna see some awful things on my feed.
The final segment I showed her was the sit down with Brody Lee eating the steak and not being happy with the sneezing. She said, really bad acting. She did say that was, once I explained the Vince McMahon joke to her, she said that's awesome, even though he sucked at it. This is the
wow.
This, yes. That's what she said. Look, this is her take. Don't yell at me.
Okay. I'm with it.
This is the line that's going to pop you, Joe. She said, she asked me point blank. She said, do you know who would have been better at this? And I was like, no, who? And she goes, the glorious guy.
Oh, this is very good. she's right too. In fact, that's why. Yeah, 100%. That would be much better. Why did they not think about this? I know he's not on the roster for them, but this is big time for Bogart. This needs to be a new bit, I think, a weekly bit. I don't know if she's willing to watch enough wrestling to make it a weekly bit, but I think it needs to become a weekly bit now. This is very good news for me.
I mean, if it's only like a segment or two, I'm sure she wouldn't mind doing it. Honestly, she will probably watch it and she will give her take on it. And Yeah. When she said that the glorious guy, she had to think about it a second, and she goes, glorious? And I was like, wait, Bobby Roode? And she's like, yeah, him. He would have been so much better at this. And I just start cracking up because I'm like, oh my God, that's going to pop Joe so much.
See, when you're like Bobby Roode, Robert Roode, whichever one you call him, you are over forever. It doesn't change. You can lose to anyone in the mid card. You'll always be over because you have that fame, right? It's the way it is.
See, now,
I do want to know, like, go ahead.
Oh, here's where, you know, she got out of the right time. Her familiarity with Bobby Roode is legitimately just NXT. Like, she doesn't know what he did on the main roster and stuff. So she still holds Bobby Roode in a high esteem because of that.
Wow, boy, am I envious. Boy, am I envious. I mean, that's very interesting. So was Bobby Roode one of the favorites at the time for Mrs. Lambert, or is not really?
She did like Bobby Roode. She liked his theme. She liked his look.
Yes. Same.
She big New Day fan. Big New Day fan.
He's good. Yep.
She did watch Kofi's title win with me last year because I told her that Kofi's probably going to win the title. So she was very excited for that. And big Daniel Bryan fan. I think those are pretty much her favorites.
That's a good list. I mean, it's better than mine, right? I mean, other than we share Bobby Roode, but other than that, mine's much more kind of controversial. But this is very interesting. I do think that as wrestling fans, we become dead to bad acting, though. Because, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to say bad acting on this pod, because, like, I mean, come on. There's no good acting, right? Randy Orton recently, like, started being able to act, and I was like, oh, my God, like, what has he done? How can he do this acting thing? No one else has figured it out, so... Yeah, I'm with her, but it's just hard for me to see it anymore.
Yeah, we totally have in that we're like, oh, this is like good by wrestling standards, but if you show this kind of acting to like people who are like film critics and stuff, they would be like, this is just god awful.
Yeah, that's why I've always been surprised that, like, I agree personality is what gets over with casual fans. I've always been surprised when people say like the skits and soap opera stuff does. Because I just think people find it to be awful. I mean, that's my experience. I don't know. Like, so for example, okay, The Rock at the absolute peak of his powers coming out and cutting a promo. I get why a normal person would be like, okay, The Rock is cool. But like a soap opera love triangle thing, like, do they really enjoy that? Like, do they really want that on a wrestling show? It's like it's badly acted. It's terribly made. It's just, I don't know. It's weird.
You weren't a fan of the Triple H, Kurt Angle, and Stephanie McMahon?
I actually think that's a good love triangle angle. Like, I actually think that was very well done. But like some of the ones, we've seen some recently. I don't think there's casual fans flocking to it. Like, oh my God, I need to see what Lashley's going to do next.
Like, I was flocking to see what Lana was going to do next because her promos were amazing.
Yeah, they were going exactly as intended. She wasn't forgetting anything. She was super on point, you know. And when she started getting things wrong, they certainly didn't keep sending her out there just to enjoy themselves, like entertain themselves, right? No way. They would never do that. Great times.
I don't know how Lana didn't win best on promos for every single publication out there. By the way,
I love that we was like, Asuka will be harder to build around. Like, she's a lock to win that award this year. You know that, right? Like, she's an absolute lock to win best on interview.
That's
like, I remember
true.
Seeing the poll for that. And by the way, the Observer Awards are awesome. No issue with them. People are voting. There's no, like, corruption to it. It's like a group of people voting. Cool. But it will always make me chuckle when it's like number six, Tetsuya Naito. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, really? Like, I know he has a cool slogan and stuff, but good lord. It's a different ballgame. That's why we were talking about Seth yesterday. It's like, can you judge Seth as a normal promo when he has to cut 10-minute promos every single week? It's a different ballgame. But I digress. Anyway, back to the... I would like more layers in future, Jeremy. If you can get me more information on the attire... I just feel there's more to discuss there. I'm still not sure if it's good or bad, but I'm glad that her take was just it's meh, right? It's fine. So yeah. I guess I'm out of line there, I guess.
She's used to, like, we watch Project Runway and like RuPaul's Drag Race and stuff. So yeah. It's a lot of like over the top, like very high detailed kind of stuff. And so something like this is the problem with the kind of wrestling costumes as well. Most of them are, when you compare them to that kind of stuff, the same with the acting, it's like, it's just kind of blah. Like, there's really nothing to it.
My thing is always like, I can't believe we're having this much of this conversation about attire, but I'm interested and I'm going to keep going down this road. So, like, my thing is always like, does it fit a guy? Like, look, I understand why Harper wanted more layers to Luke Harper character, but you must say, if nothing else, that attire was like the perfect, for what they were trying to do with him when he was like a wild man.
Right.
It was great. And maybe it just preconditioned me to what I thought he'd like here, and I just, it caught me off guard. That's all. The Bludgeon Brothers thing was weird. I hear there's a lot of fun Bludgeon Brothers stuff in the podcast, so that's another thing to look out for, I guess.
There is. He tells a story of how Vince McMahon approved the gear while they were getting, or while he was getting his calf massaged, which is hilarious. And it's a mallet, not a sledgehammer, because only one man can call it a sledgehammer, so it's got to be a mallet.
We need to do a full daily episode on the fact that Triple H uses a sledgehammer and it's accepted as part of pro wrestling. We need a full episode. The most insane thing in pro wrestling that is just accepted as normal at this point. An incredible piece of the industry, that is. An actual sledgehammer, Jeremy. And we just accept that he has enough respect for his opponent that he'll like hook it with his hand to make it more safe for them. Incredible. I love everything
instead of just swinging it like you're supposed to bash their head in.
I think there's like a couple examples where they use like a gimmick one and he did it like an actual sledgehammer, like he was actually trying to kill someone.
Right.
I mean, he did it to Kevin Nash perhaps. But for the rest of the time, he just had enough respect, enough of a heart in him to just, you know, look, I'm willing to use a sledgehammer. Let's not get carried away here. I'm going to hook it with my left hand. Look, I'm gold day on that. All kind of wrestling weaponry is hilarious to me, but the sledgehammer is all-timer. All-timer.
I am fine with a wrestling weapon and how they use it and how they could use it podcast, because I'm in agreement with it. If you're trying to hurt this man, use the weapon properly. Like, what are you doing? Yes. Like, when Triple H had the pliers and he's going to rip out the nose ring of Batista. All right, that was a cool spot. But if you've got the pliers, like, plunge it in his eye or something if you want to hurt this man.
All this stuff, it always reminds me. Do you remember when Ace and H were running wild? I'm going to have to go on a tangent here. So Gallows was brought into the Ace and H, and he was called Doc. And I can't remember what it stood for. Director of Carnage or something like that. And his weapon of choice was he had a ball pin hammer. And there was one time he just stood over Sting and was just like hitting him in the back with a hammer for like 5 minutes. And they were like, my God, someone stop it. And I was just thinking, man, like, there's a lot of class in that guy not to just do like a real fatal shot here. But he's still violent enough to hit the man with it for 5 straight minutes. So, yeah, there's a lot to it. I also love like the modern wrestling thing, which I'm totally on board with. No chair shots to the head, obviously. But I love the wrestling thing of like a guy comes in with a chair and you just turn around and I'm like, okay, right in the center of the spine. There you go. Jericho did an amazing one on AEW this week. He just turned around and was like, okay, there you go. He's wonderful.
That is going to wrap it up for us today, folks. We will be back on Monday. No weekend shows unless we get really bored. We'll be back on Monday talking more of the WWE March Madness tournament. I'm sure something crazy is going to happen before then. They're going to cancel the Boneyard match. They're going to turn Goldberg and his opponent. His opponent's going to end up being Hulk Hogan, and it's going to be a 60-minute Iron Man match. These are just my predictions. I don't have any spoilers, but...
Yeah.
Look, Hogan wants to work... Yeah. Oh, I thought of it, Joe. I got it.
Yeah.
I got it. Hogan wants to work Mania. It's in Florida. He's got to get that win back against Goldberg. New WWE champion Hulk Hogan.
That makes a lot of sense for everyone involved, I think. Because I think he's still owed a win by Goldberg, right?
Exactly.
I think. Wow. Ticks all the boxes for Hulk. Ticks all the boxes for him. It's very interesting.
It ticks all the boxes for everyone. They get the title on someone who's actually older than Goldberg, which is a big sticking point, I feel like. Hogan, who's had more WrestleMania success than Hogan? Who's a bigger draw than Hogan? You know, they want to boost these ratings and stuff. Why not bring it back to the man, the ratings king, Hulk Hogan?
WrestleMania 36, where it all begins again.
Yeah.
That's the slogan.
Too big to begin again in one night. I don't know.
Yes, yes. Yeah, definitely. That's the best idea I've seen yet, I must say. I've seen some wacky ones, some cool guy ones, but that one is more kind of, feels more grounded. And that's what I like about it, Jeremy. I like that it's grounded in realism. That's what I like. And that isn't even sarcasm at this point. It really is.
Again, we'll be back on Monday. You can check out our usual Thursday show, 7 p.m. every Thursday on Fightful.com. Subscribe to Fightful Select. Joe, what features do you have in the works, maybe?
I mean, this morning, so many Roman Reigns drafts were finally destroyed. Not destroyed, just saved for next year's WrestleMania, I assume. It's been very sad, Jeremy. I mean, I don't want to sit here and make everyone feel sorry for me, but there are some features coming. There's a Drew McIntyre feature out. There's a Rhea Ripley one coming, a Bray Wyatt one coming. The rest is a mystery to me and you because there's a lot of stuff that's been written that may never see the light of day. So we'll just see how the news round takes me.
On Monday or Tuesday, we are going to talk to Joe about how this whole thing has just screwed up his feature process.
Yeah.
Because we've talked off air about it, and I find this stuff fascinating, and hopefully people can enjoy the insight of, look, WWE is screwing us over, which I'm pretty sure is just their plan at this point. We've talked about it for weeks. Their whole goal is just to counter-program us. We're such a threat that they're like, how do we shut these guys down? They're not worried about shutting their own event down. They're worried about shutting us down.
They're not my main target anymore. It's Woj. Woj talking pro wrestling on his podcast. That's disgusting. That's disgusting. I don't accept that.
Who else do we have to program, Joe? We're programming WWE. We're now programming Woj. Like, who else?
I don't know. I'm just waiting for ESPN to start running out March Madness results at the bottom of the screen. You know, like at this point, I just think that our whole act is being stolen from. It's a terrible time, but you know, we stay strong. We continue to talk about wrestling weaponry and attires, and we'll be fine, I think, because no one can take that from us. I don't think anyone can talk in that level of depth about sledgehammers and stuff.
Everyone, follow Joe on Twitter at JoeHolbert5. The polls will be up this weekend. You can follow me on Twitter at JeremyLambert88, and we'll be back on Monday.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.